Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. And this week we have a guy that I ran into, and I wasn't running, but he was running Rim to River last year. And I saw him fly by a couple times because I was up crew chiefing for one of my friends. And I saw this dude run by a couple times and just absolute in awe. He's an incredible beast, incredible runner. And so great privilege to bring in Mr. Brian Bill. Brian, ready to go for a run?
100% all the time, most of
the
time.
There you go. I was going to say, you're pretty much always on the go running, aren't you?
Yeah, being a truck driver, I feel like I stay on the go. And then even when I stop, it's if I ain't doing one, I'm doing the other. So it's definitely a healthy mix of the two for sure.
There you go. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do for a living? Where do you live? Married? All that good stuff.
I've been married for 5 years to my second wife. I have one child. I live in Lincoln, North Carolina, which is about, trying to think what's the nearest thing people actually know of. Probably like 1 hour and 10 minutes from Asheville, like going away from the mountains. So I'm close enough to get to them, but you know, I'm kind of in the foothills. So I got a good little local training park. Been a truck driver since I've turned 21 years old. I run my own truck. Well, I work for my dad. We basically run the business together. So I say I run my own truck, but you know, one of them things where we have the same exact name. It's my truck. It's my name on the side of the truck.
There
So,
you go.
You know,
Awesome.
One of those deals.
Yep.
I got into running in 2017 when I met my current wife because she was doing Spartan races. And I showed up one time at a race with her, never running more than like 4 miles. And even then, I think it was like once or twice. And I raced a 3 mile sprint in the mud. Well, I watched her race Saturday and it just looked like the most fun you could ever possibly have. Mud, you know, everything in between.
Right.
Up a mountain, you know, through creeks. And then Sunday, I was like, oh, I told her that afternoon. I was like, well, I'm going to have to race tomorrow. I was like, I can't miss this, you know, ran a 3 mile race. And ever since then, I've never looked back. I was just like,
that's
let's
awesome.
Just go, let's do it all the time.
That's cool. So now for trucking, are you like a long haul trucker or short haul or what?
I'd consider myself regional. Like a lot of times last night I had 1300 miles, which is more than I typically do, but I think I had basically everything west of Knoxville. I deliver flowers for the second biggest greenhouse in the country.
Wow.
So it's pretty, you know, it's basically the whole East Coast. I try to stay out towards Nashville, a lot of Kentucky, a lot of Florida. I'll go about anywhere besides, you know, Northeast. I try to stay out of there. But other than that, you know, I'm typically it's seasonal though. So it's like during the winter, I get to train a whole lot. And I don't have to work that much. And then during like March, then miles at it, because I get paid by the mile, not by the hour, obviously. So, you know, March can be 60-hour work weeks. And then all of a sudden, April is like 80-hour work weeks. And then May is like 90-hour work weeks.
Oh
and
my
then it
gosh.
Kind of dies during the summer. Oh, yeah. So it really throws a wrench in the training between springtime. I mean, it's just, you just get what you can, you know, you get it while you can with as much driving as I do. It's just kind of, it's a balancing
So do you like try to catch like
months.
A run when you're on a break from driving someplace, or how do you do that?
It all depends on the day. There's been plenty of times where I've came down 26 into Asheville on Sam's Gap, and that Appalachian Trail was literally probably 100 yards from where I can park the truck safely on the side of the road. And it's like, you know what? Today's been a long day. I'm going to go on this 14-mile run, and then I'm going to go to sleep, and then I'll drive back to the greenhouse, grab another one, and then take back off. So it just depends.
Awesome.
You know, it works
that's
out pretty
awesome.
Good. I mean, I don't get home all the time during those weeks or those months, but for the most part, yeah, I'm home every day. I mean, like I said, I left on 1,200 miles yesterday at 3 o'clock, and, you know, I'm driving home right now. So it's not super bad when you run your own truck. You kind of do what you want. And we got an agricultural exemption, which helps a lot. It gives me a lot of free time and free miles to do it legally. So that helps.
Okay. So let's jump into the running. So you started running with a 5K Spartan in 2017. And so what was your progression like from there? Was it a normal progression, or were you one of these crazy people that just jumped straight into ultras?
I would say, I'd say it was mostly normal for the most part. Cause I mean, I went from, I was truly like, that was when Spartan was really booming. I mean, it was still in like the middle ages of booming, you know, it was still a big sport. Like the first race I ever went to was that one in Asheville, and I wasn't aware like that was when all the big people came to that venue for a series race. So it was the best of the best. And after that, I was like, well, where else can we go? That's within driving distance. And I went from, sprints, which were 3 miles. And back in the day, supers were 6 to 8 miles, and a beast was 12 to 14. So I'd always kind of, I just went from there and raced as many as I could. I was probably doing, 10 to 15 a year, maybe for 2 years, with no real interest in doing like a trail race. We got the White Water Center. I'd jump in a half marathon here and there, but I never really dabbled in anything longer than that until, I think tw I want to say 2020, actually, maybe. I ran a 50K and blew up royally. I mean, just terribly blew up, like 20 miles in. And I was not running 50K mileage. I was running like, oh, let's lift in the gym 7 hours a week and then run like 20 miles a week. So when I ran that 50K, boy, oh, I got a surprise. And it was a flat 50K too. And I was like, I didn't realize people could do this for this long. It was pretty rough. And then after that, of course, I was bit. I was like, okay, we gotta go try that again and then try another one and a longer one. So
That's awesome. That is, yeah, amazing. So you just kept on, increased mileage. So when did you go from like the Spartans and Tough Mudders and start running like, just typical ultras?
that was so the 2020 was the first 50K, and I thought it was fun. I came around 21 miles hot. And then just blew up, and I was like, okay, well, let's try not to ever do that again. And then, I want to say a year later, I signed up for Quest for the Crest, I think was my next 50K. I'm not sure. I don't think I'd done any in between that, and that was before I knew what elevation was, like period. Like I was just living downtown Charlotte, running on the roads, but I seen this race, and I was like, well, it's in the mountains, and I've always been a mountain person. Like I'd always, not a lot of hiking, just. I would get to a waterfall and I'd go swim during the summer at least once a week, twice a week, in my younger days. So I was like, I seen that race and I was like, oh, we're signing up for that. And it was like, 31 miles, which is definitely wrong. It's 35. And it is 12,500 feet of gain. And oh my gosh, I think that was probably the longest day of my life because I had no idea what I was getting into. Couldn't walk the next day. I mean, it was an ordeal. And then I think after that was like, well, if I can do that. I kept running 50Ks and probably for a year. Honestly, I don't know my first race after that was any longer. I mean, I do remember a Sky to Summit 100K. That was pretty early on. But I think that 50K taught me, like, hey, this is kind of fun to just come out here and be out here for 10 hours. So I started looking into longer stuff. I was like, hey, that's a little more fun than running a half marathon as fast as I could. Different type of suffering for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think one of the first times I saw you may have been I went down and ran the vertical mile in the 16 mile or whatever they called the vertical mile. I forget the town in North Carolina, but
I'm kidding,
it
aren't
was 2022 and I think I ran, well, you ran past me at that one. I believe that was in 2022.
I wonder if that may have been my first or second year doing that. I love that race, man. That race is so, it's just
Isn't that fun?
absolutely brutal. It
It
is. And
is.
I missed it this year just because I wasn't looking at the schedule. And then my wife's like, hey, we missed that race. And I was like, what race? I was pretty shocked that I let that one slide by. But I mean, I had a lot going on. But man, that race is just, that's one of them like love hate relationships. I love it. But man, it will blow me up every single time. I mean, no matter how much I run in the mountains, I'm like, oh, I'm ready. And then you get there and you're like, no, I was not ready.
Yeah, exactly. I remember getting there and the first time up it, I was like, oh my. because I'm coming
Yeah,
down from
takes
Virginia
you by
Beach and it
surprise.
was like, wow. and it got hot. yeah, I struggled mightily there, but I finished. That's all that counts. So,
Well, and it's just so steep, so fast. It's
yeah.
like it catches me. I mean, I train on 40%. I train on 30. I train on basically any incline I can find in the mountains. And
Yep.
then every time I show up to that race, I'm like, I forgot this rock was this steep for this amount of time. Like I thought I was in shape to run up it, but I am not every single
Oh
time.
man. Yeah, and if you get close to noon, man, that sun bouncing off that rock. Oh
I can only
my.
imagine what the real feel is on that rock. It's got to be 120, or it felt like it every time I ran. It felt like it,
Oh my
besides the
gosh.
nighttime
I thought
one.
my shoes were gonna melt. I was like, this is probably the first race I've ever run that I felt like my shoes were gonna melt.
Right. It's like, why are
And
my
I've
feet
done
hot?
exactly. I've done races down in Arizona, in the hot desert, and
Oh
never
gosh.
felt like my shoes were going to melt. So, yeah, that one, that's a special race. So, what was your first? I know, was Georgia Death Race? I always count Georgia Death Race as kind of a 100 miler. I know it's only 74, but oh my. Was that
Yeah.
kind of your first foray into like the really long distance?
I believe I did. Sky to Summit is a 50K
Okay.
they do every year in October, and they put on 100K 1 year, and I actually believe that was my, I want to say that was my first one. That was because I went from 50K to 100K. I don't remember, no 40
Okay.
milers, 50 milers, and I did pretty good in that one. Ended up third. I mean, it was low key. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people there by no means, and it rained.
Right.
Oh my God, it rained all day long, which made it way more fun for me,
Right.
and I think that was my first introduction to like anything longer. I did try Shadows of the South 100 not long after Sky to Summit 100K,
Okay.
and that was my first true introduction to like, oh, you have to train like a lot more for this. Like that was my reality check. Like, yeah, you can't just jump in a 100 miler with. I think it was supposed to be point to point to point. Last second course change ended up being like 2 50-mile loops, and I think half the field dropped out like. At the first loop, they was like, yeah, this ain't what we signed up for. I'm out, because they changed the course the day before. So it was like, but I was like, whatever, I'm excited. It's my first one. I think I made it
Right.
81 miles in 25
Okay.
hours. And I was like, I died in the chair. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
Lesson
no
learned.
kidding. There you go. So what is like your go-to, for like hydration, nutrition when you're doing these long things?
No, man. Or whoever's listening, do not take this advice whatsoever. The nutrition is all over the place. I mean, I don't eat fruits, I don't eat vegetables. I'm terrible about that. My palate is just not made for it. Like I can't hold any of it down at all, which
Okay.
is I don't it's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So normally, like I think I ran Rim to River last year on like I don't know how many goes, probably 30 or 40 at least.
Wow.
And I don't think I had a solid, honestly. I think it was goose, and I'll chug me a like half a monster, like no calorie monster, just because I like it, just because it feels like it's something I do every day. So it's kind of like that little boost. But most of
Right.
the time, it's honestly just Coke, Limit, and water, and
Okay.
that's about it.
And if I remember right, you don't run like with a hydration pack or anything, just like with a handheld, right?
No, during Rim to River, I will wear a vest. I'm just known for like not carrying water at all. I will have the bottles on me, and sometimes I will, but oh, that's not true. Yeah, I will wear a vest a lot of 100 milers, but I
Okay.
have also been known to completely leave that vest behind and run with a handheld. That is a sometimes a good habit because I feel lighter, I feel better. I'm 60 miles in a race. I don't want to feel it on my back. And
Right.
then other times I'm like, yeah, another bottle right now would be really nice. So, yeah, I forgot about that. I have dropped it many, many
Okay.
times in the middle of a race.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, Rim to River last year, one of your pacers is a really good friend of mine from Newport News, Jason Wood. So, how did you meet Jason?
Spartan racing in, I believe. Dang, I think I met him my first year racing actually. My 2017, I think I met him in Central Florida in December of 2017. And I was like, he just looked like a cool guy. I mean, big, buffed
Yep.
up muscle guy. And I'm like, And I think me and him happened to line up beside each other and we just started a conversation. We've known each other ever since. Because
That's
he used to
awesome.
race, well, obviously, he used to be more into Spartans and I used to be more into Spartans. So we'd
Yep.
see each other, in a lot of the same venues. And then he ended up pacing me last year, which was cool.
Yeah.
Or
And
drop
now,
bagging me, however you look
last
at
year,
it.
so was last year your third time or your second time at Rim to River?
Second year at Rim to River.
Okay. And now your first year at Rim to River, how did you do?
I remember top 10. I do remember
Okay.
that. Maybe eight. I don't I don't think it was super up there, but it was there.
Right.
20, I want to say 21 and change, maybe like 21, 30. I
Wow.
went out way too hot and then blew up royally, of course,
Yep.
and walked a good bit of the back half, but I mean, I never felt absolutely awful because I believe that was my first point to point 100. So I consider
Okay.
like my first 100 ever that I completed was last man standing laps on pavement. I
Yep.
misread the course description on that one. Trust me, I'd never do that again. I'm not on the pavement anyway. And
Right.
then, yeah, so that rim to rear, I was really, really excited for that one. And I still wasn't training the way I needed to be training, but I think I was just able to put together like a halfway decent race. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is way more, I was like, this is fun. I need to do some more of these,
Okay.
So that one really got me hooked just because that race has ran so flawlessly. And I love that area anyway.
Yeah. And then you turned around and like a month later in 23, didn't you run Hellgate?
Oh yes. Oh, I love that race too. That's a great race. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will be back at Hellgate this year. I took last year off, but I will be back at Hellgate this year because
Okay.
that
Awesome.
is such a fun. I didn't know what to expect. Like I guess by the name of it, and I probably should have done some more research, even though I thought I did. I was expecting like East Coast, like rocks and roots everywhere. And it was like, oh no. It was like, yes, a lot of those uphills are runnable. Then you dip in the woods and there are some rocks, but they're not unfathomable, like you could
Right.
still bomb down a lot of those hills. So knowing what to train for this year, I'm like, oh yeah, we're coming, because I really wanted sub 12 at Hellgate, and I also wanted a top 10 puffy jacket. So I was like, okay,
Oh,
didn't get
yeah.
it that year, but it's been a 2 year break. I was like, we're gonna go for it this year pretty hard.
Awesome. Awesome. Man, I may head up to Hellgate just to watch you. That would be fun.
Dude, it
That
is,
would be a
man,
blast.
you should just come run it. I mean, because this, I'm telling you, man, it is such a, it's just a cool race. Like you just feel like, I guess because it's so kind of niche, you feel like you're
Right.
like part of a special group of like, hey, we're
Yeah.
a little crazy, in the midnight
Yep.
start, which I thought was neat. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
that's
cool
pretty
area.
awesome. Yeah. That whole area is just amazing. And I noticed, so you've run the Mid-State Mile, right?
Yes, one time.
What is that race like?
depends on what, if you ask me when I started, it's pretty fun. And then about 60 miles in is like hell on earth because it's slow paced,
Right.
and that is just not. I thought I like it. I ran that because I seen. I know a guy, Justin Hamilton. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He
Yep,
won it
heard the
one
name.
year,
Yep.
and I heard him on a podcast in which started with mainly OCR intentions and turned into a running podcast called The Running Public, and I was like, well, if he can win it, I was like, I gotta go out there and see if I can win it. I was like, seems simple enough, just keep going in circles. And it's 330 feet per lap, two climbs per lap, and I think it's like 1.05 miles per lap, I believe, every 20
Wow.
minutes. And you get every 12 hours, you get 20 minutes off.
Okay.
And oh boy, I mean, that was the first time I ever felt any pain in my feet. And when
Okay.
I decided to quit, I was I think I made it 90 miles, which is the goal was to win, obviously, and then the goal was like to get to 100. But
Right.
the only thing about that race is you're only doing 3 miles an hour in 90 degree heat. So instead of doing 100 as fast as you can, you're out there for 35, 36, whatever the math is on it, to get 100 miles. And
Oh, wow.
I just wasn't prepared for that. It was a very, I mean, it was a very cool race though. Very, very low key, not a whole lot of people start it, but you see a whole lot of people drop real fast sometimes, and then
Right.
you get real close with the people who you're running with, which was fun. So,
Yeah. That just sounds crazy. And then the other one that I noticed that you ran is the one called the Conquer, the one that they call the toughest backyard ultra. Tell me about that one because I've never heard of this one. I know it's down in Georgia someplace.
oh yeah, it's this will be the third year they had it. I'd done it the first year and it had a lot of hype. Like it just happened to come across my Instagram or Facebook, or I think I had a couple people send it to me too, like just knowing, I was like, hey, you'd be interested in this. And they said it was 1,000 feet per loop, which I won't lie, I go off my watch pretty religiously. So
Okay.
it was 900 feet a loop, 3.2 miles, I want to say. And it was every hour on the hour, and purposely the coldest weekend average on the year. Like they picked that date because it averaged the coldest weekend for that time, you know, or for that area. And it was at Amnicola Falls State Park. I'm
Oh,
probably
wow.
saying that wrong, but it's where the Georgia Death Race finishes, the same waterfall. And you just start at the top of the hill, bomb down, come up the road a little bit, slight incline, go back down, then climb up the mountain, then up some stairs, and then you're back. And seems simple enough. Man, that race, it went, I think it went on for, it seemed like it went on forever because I ended up going, I think, 108 miles and about 32,000 feet. And I
Oh,
dropped out in
God.
fifth. My buddy dropped out in fourth. And then the top three guys, oh, I don't know if he was aware of this. So the first year you paid $100. Now I think they've changed it a little bit, as
Okay.
in like how it gets divvied up now. You pay $100 to enter the race. That was it. That was the whole entry fee.
Okay.
When you start, they give you a little plastic tube and it's got a $100 bill in it. Winner keeps all. So
Oh,
you have a
wow.
$100 bill. If you hold on to it and you win, you get $10,000 cash in
Oh
your
my.
hands. Yeah,
That's awesome.
which was pretty neat. You know, I was like, dang, that's a very cool concept because it's your $100 bill as long as you win. You know,
Right,
get
no
your money
kidding.
back. And you get everybody
Wow.
else's money. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Any desire to go back and try that again?
After my recent DNF in Ouray, I figured I need more slow hiking practice, like
Right.
more just time on feet races where I'm really out there grinding for 30 hours, 40 hours, whatever it may be. So I haven't looked into when Hellgate is, and I know they've moved. Well, I think Hellgate's the same date every year or the same
Right.
week every year or whatever. So just depends on how close it gets to that. Because on that race, honestly, I'm hoping it's after Hellgate because I believe I could run Hellgate, take a week off, and then go run the Conqueror. Because I'm thinking they moved it to December for permit wise or whatever.
Okay.
So they'll be a lot closer, but I've considered going back this year. Now the winners who won last year, he's coming back. But you know, you never know. People stuff happens in races all the time. So I'm like,
That's right.
I might give it a
That's right.
shot.
Yeah, that's exciting. That sounds cool. So, this year you've had a pretty good year this year because you went down to Forgotten, Florida and did really well, finished third there, right?
Yes, thank you, sir. It was probably the smoothest 100 miler I think I've ever pulled off, honestly.
Really? So what went right there?
Yeah. So the year, let's see, technically that was, oh, that was this year. I was 25. So I don't know if you know, at the end of last year, I just happened to have Rim to River on the schedule, which I was going to run regardless. My favorite
Right.
race.
Yep. And you did fantastic. Seventh, right?
Thank you. I believe so. And I think I finished a little faster than the year before, but oh boy, did I blow up way harder. So learn that lesson. I mean, way harder. Like I'm sure you can
Right.
ask Jason. He's probably like, why are you walking for 30 miles at a time? I'm like, leave me alone. You know, like if you come into 50 mile 52 at like 9 hours, you've messed up, you know, especially when you're pacing for 20. But
Yep. I remember seeing you coming into the 50 mile and you were cooking, man. And I was like, holy crap, this guy could finish like sub 18 in the 17s. And I was like, wow, because you were cooking.
well, I mean, I just forgot, like on the front half of that course was so runnable. And I mean, I was so excited to meet Carl Meltzer also. Like that's my guy. Like that's Speed
Yeah.
Goat is my shoe to the day I die. So
Okay.
I had a pair of GTX that I got him to autograph that I'll never wear just because they're too hot on my
Awesome.
feet and they're black. So I was like, okay. So I knew at the beginning of the race, I was like, don't pass him. That's a bad idea. He knows what he's doing. And here I am 10 miles into the race, which I did save him and the other guy from going the wrong way. I was like, look at me go,
Yep.
you know. And
That was the guy I
man,
was
I was.
crewing. Adam was the guy that I was crewing. So
Oh, was
you're
it?
the one.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's freaking hilarious. That's cool. And man, I just felt good. And I was like, you know, I was like, temperature's cool. I was like, miles are easy. I was like, I'm going to keep on cooking till I'm, you know, till I feel like I'm done. Because there for a while, dude, you never know. I felt like I was in new fitness, so I was going to find out. And I found out the hard way I was in new fitness for about 52 miles. And then after that, it was like crumble, crumble, crumble. Took me all the way to about mile 80 to get out of that funk of like, at mile 80, I started racing again. You know, I was like,
Okay.
okay, me and Jason was like, we're hunting people down. You know,
Yep.
like one at a
Yep.
time. Well, I was like, we're going to hunt them down and catch them. I mean, it's going to take all night, but it made the race go by faster when I stopped, you know, throwing myself a pity party.
Yep. That's a,
But
there may be a tip in that one there, Brian. So you might want to remember that one.
100%. Oh yeah. Well, and I think so. I'm gonna get the order of the hundreds confused, but I did Rim to River. I want to say 1 month later, which I did know ahead of time though. World's Toughest Mudder, which I've never ran a tough mudder, but World's Toughest is a big ordeal. Like in the OCR community, it's like that's where the best of that sector goes. A lot of them guys don't race Spartan. Some people cross over, but some people don't. But it is 24 hours. It's 5 mile loops. They open up obstacles randomly throughout the day and then throughout the night. You know, you get electrocuted, crap like that. Was not a fan of that at all. So luckily, I was able to weasel my way through that 90% of the time. And you could definitely hear me cussing a lot when I didn't weasel my way through it and got hitting guys that because it was way worse than I anticipated. Like, I just didn't think they would have that for the general public to walk through. I was like, holy crap. I was like, these guys really are crazy, you know, because I was coming through, I was coming through it the first time and got like a little static shock. And I looked at my wife, I was like, that's it? I was like, are you serious? And then, so I wasn't being as careful the next time, and it got me. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, no, that's it. I was like, that's why people are swimming in the water under this thing. And she was like, yeah. I was like, okay, the lesson learned, right? But so my buddies that I do the other podcast with, I just jump on there and, you know, talk crap basically. They was like, man, it's going overseas next year. You have to do Tough Mudder this year. I was like, okay. So I'll run Rim to River. I'll taper for a month, recover, whatever. And then it's always been known, like, we think Brian can hit 100. And then, of course, my buddy was like, I don't know if you can hit 100 after you've just done 100, especially racing 100, you know, not just completing, but racing it, you know. So my whole goal, and they give you get 24 hours, but if you start the last lap before 24 hours, you get another hour and a half. So technically, you have 25 hours to complete 100 miles. And the obstacles to me wasn't that. I mean, they've never been hard. They wasn't hard in Spartan. They wasn't hard in Tough Mudder. So I lucked out. I was so tired from running Rim to River. I paced very properly on that Tough Mudder race and ended up hitting 100 miles in about 25 hours or 24 and a half,
Awesome.
somewhere around there. Thank you. And I didn't know at the time. They was like, you're one of 23 people to have one of these orange jackets, which is hilarious. They give you an orange tuxedo jacket, which I love. It's like the
Oh, that's
Masters, you
awesome.
know.
That is
I
awesome.
was like, dude, everybody. I mean, I was like, that's probably one of the most random cool awards I've got, you know. And then it clicked in my head. I was like, okay, if I wouldn't have had Rim to River, you know, because I went out hot at Rim to River, I was like, if I wouldn't have had that race, I probably would have went out hot here. And there's no way that I could have kept. I don't think there's any way I would have hit 100 miles going out hot and then blowing up in that terrain. Because I mean, it was the front half of the course, 2.5 miles, about a 3/4 mile of thick sand, and then there was no water for the first 2.5. So you're just out there in the barren heat, you know, just even though it's November, it's still 80 degrees down there, you know, in Florida. So I think in my brain, I was like, I think I just learned how to pace a race for the first time ever, you know. And then 2 weeks later, turned around. There was an Old Fort endurance race for Hurricane Helene, like recovery efforts in Old Fort. And Sally McRae was going to be there. And I'm like, I'm definitely going to race. If she's going to be there, I was just going to go to meet her no matter what.
Yeah, no kidding.
But of course, with the mindset of, you know, our sport, it's like, well, if I had 4 weeks off and I could do another 100, why couldn't I do another 100 2 weeks later? So turned around, did 100 miles in 23 hours, and I was like, I'm out, I'm done. The girl I was running with paced me. She's an absolute monster. She literally put so much time on me in the last lap that it was like there was no racing her. You know, like I was done. She did 104, and I just didn't even understand how she turned that switch on of like, we're doing this for this amount of time, and then all of a sudden she's like, okay, time to go, and just left me sitting still, you know, which is funny because I tried to do that to her at mile 80 because she was in a low point, and I was like, Jill, I was like, you know, we was at 30, 34, 35th place at one point, which I wasn't really paying attention to, But I was just like, man, I was like, are we really that far back? And we was pacing smooth. Like I knew for a fact, like 24 hours, 100 miles was going to be 17,000 feet. And I was like, I was so tired from World's Toughest Mudder. I didn't have anything faster than 11:30, 12-minute miles, no matter what. Uphill, downhill, this is all I've got. You know, I just knew, I was like, if I just keep this up and, you know, maintain my pits, man, I tried to leave her at 80 miles. 'Cause she got started feeling a little weak, and she's like, "You go ahead." She's like, "You go for it, dude." I swear, I stomped it for like 2.5 hours, and then my wife comes by. She's like, "Jill's about 5 minutes behind you on that last lap." I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah, she was right behind you, dude." As she's telling me this, I crap you not. Jill is running up beside me, and she is full of energy, and she's on the same lap I'm on. I'm like, "Yep,
Oh my
well,
gosh.
I thought we was gonna have a nice, relaxed, 100 mile lap." We was gonna finish together. We was gonna win first, second, overall, whatever, you know. And she was like, "Oh no." She's like, "We got time for one more after this one." I was
Oh my
like,
gosh.
"I thought she was joking, you know."
Right.
And this is the girl I ran Mid-State Mile with, you know, a couple of years prior,
Right.
and she was not joking. I told her, I was like, "I'll try to hang on up the climb, you know, whatever." And dude, when I say she was going so fast, I was just like, I couldn't believe it for one. But when I got to the finish line, I heard people ringing their bells. And I told my wife, I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, she didn't beat me by that much, whatever, you know. I was done with my 100. That was all that mattered. And she
Right.
was like, yeah, Jill went out and did her other, you know, she started her other lap. I was like, good for her. She can have first overall. I was like, I got mine. You know, I'm done. And it turned out when me and my wife was talking about that race later. I told her, I was like, well, she didn't put like 2 minutes on me, 3 minutes on me. I was like, I could hear y'all clapping when she came across the finish line. She was like, oh no. She's like, that wasn't her. She was like, she put like 20 minutes on you. And I
Oh
was like, dude,
my.
what? Dude, she put 20, well, it could be 20, could be 15, but somewhere around 15 to 20 minutes she put on me on her lap, you know, 100 or 100.
Holy
Both of us on a 100
smokes.
mile lap. I was like, dude, I was like, that right there is the difference in between a mountain runner and somebody who can run a marathon. And I think I want to say she's low 240s. I don't know what
Oh
it is,
my
but it's,
goodness. Wow.
yeah. And I don't think I've ever been beat that badly that fast. You know, like
Right.
I felt like I was like, okay. I was like, so she is a beast. I mean, I knew she was a beast anyway, but
Right.
it wasn't like I was jogging my last lap. I was trying to get done. You know, I was like, I just want to. And my watch was like at 22:50s. I mean, I knew I was like, I'm gonna have to push a little bit, but I was like, it was gonna drive me crazy if I'd have went 23:01 when I could do 20, 22:58 or whatever. So I
Right,
did push a
right.
little bit, but I mean, man, I don't know what she ran that last or her next to the last lap in, but boy, it was just an
Smoking.
absolute.
That's
You know,
crazy.
just I had nothing for it. I was like, I could not even believe that she could put that much time on me that fast. I was like, well,
That's
that's the difference
incredible.
right there of 80 mile weeks and 50.
Yeah, no kidding. That's crazy. So then you went out, so back to back to back hundreds in 3 months.
I think it ended up being, let's say, 100, 4 weeks, 100, 2 weeks, 100. So yeah, 6 weeks and 300s.
Oh my.
But
So how does your
I
body
think it's
feel
the best
after
thing.
that?
Honestly, my body felt a lot better. Rim to river, I think it always takes it out of me because I try to run it so fast, and you know, you
Right.
just blow up, and then you're just gonna feel terrible anyway. Tough Mudder took it out of me more than anything because the heat. Just
Yeah.
when I was done with that race, like my body wasn't sore from obstacles. My body was like, just quick, get out the freaking sun and go cool down somewhere. Like, leg wise, I was all right. And then I knew, like, I could pace the other race. Honestly, I think that last race was probably the most smooth, well-rounded race I ran because my body was so beat up that I couldn't go faster than I
Okay.
wanted to, you know. So that finally clicked in my head. That's why when I ran Forgotten Florida, and my dad's always told me, he's like, dude, you can run faster than what you're running. He's like, if you would just hold back a little bit, you know, he ran high school state track, you
Okay.
know. And he was like, just hold back for 50 miles and then race the back 50. And I was like, that's just hard to do. You know,
Yep.
when you want to
Yep.
run 10:30s, in my mind, 10:30s I can do all day long. I've found out multiple times I cannot do 10:30s all day long. So at that Forgotten Florida race, I ran 12 minutes on the dot. Now, I didn't run, obviously, every mile wasn't 12 minutes, but I have a now my watch tells me the average over the elapsed, time. And I was like, at 51, 50 miles, if it says 12 minutes a mile, then I can race. And sure as crap, that is exactly how I played it. And even then, I was not having a great race because I was like, man, I was like, this is a good time, but I forget. I always, for some reason, I always think 12-minute miles is a 24-hour 100. No, I was like, oh, you're still pacing at a 20-hour pace, And little did I know, like something kind of clicked around mile 55, 56. The aid stations got a little closer, maybe 4 or 5 miles apart. So I started kind of being like, I'm gonna stomp this section and see what I can do, And I had no idea of placement. I didn't want to know. And next thing you know, I was talking to some guy. He was in third place, and I was like, okay. I was like, well. I was like, now we're about to have some real fun. Me and him ran together for a while, and when I seen him crack, because I think we ran together probably 8, 9 miles, and he's one of them crazy guys who just discovered ultras, and he's like, I'm gonna do like 800 this year. He's just jumped right head first, and he had just done one 2 weeks before in a quick time in like 18 something. So I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to hang with this guy, but once I seen him crack, I was like. He was like, man, you go ahead. I got to stretch. He was like, you're good. He's like, just take off. And I think I clocked about 9:45-ish mile. And I thought I was clocking a 10:30 mile, right? So right off of the bat, that gave me a big mental boost, a mile 65, 70. And dude, I didn't look back. I just called
That's
my
awesome.
dad literally like after 10 miles. I was like, I feel great. Just letting you know. Next thing you know, I was chasing down second place. I was just,
No, that's
or I was
awesome.
chasing them all down. I was just, because I think me and him was in fourth or fifth, and then I ended up chasing down third place is what it was. But man, I think once I hit the gas, I just never turned back. I was like, I
That's
wish every
awesome.
race would go like that. I'm aware it doesn't, but that was just like, it was almost like runner's high for like 5 hours straight. I was like, holy crap, I ain't felt this in a long time.
That's
good timing.
awesome. Good stuff, man. So have you so you've done like a another you've done a 24-hour? You just in June, right? You did have you done anything between Forgotten Florida and the 24-hour in June or?
Oh no, Quest got canceled. That's my favorite. It's always on my birthday. That's the 35 mile. I've done that 4 times. It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite race, honestly, just because it's so brutal and so quick. I say quick, it's 10 hours, but it got canceled this year. I don't even think I did. I didn't do any Spartan. No, I don't think I had anything in between there, honestly, because springtime, I just set my mileage real low, and it's just like I don't really have any expectations of myself, like 30 miles a week, just get that done and don't worry about anything else,
So let's jump into Ouray because my buddy Kyle went out and ran Ouray, also from here in Virginia Beach. So a couple of lowlanders heading out to the mountains of Colorado. This is your first foray into the Western mountain running, correct?
Yes. Now I have been out west running. Went to Utah for a Spartan race. It was half marathon. It wasn't no big deal. About died that year because I mean, I think it was 100 degrees. I think it was literally record setting temperatures at that ski resort for that day. And I didn't realize how dry the air was. Had no water bottle to start that race. And I was like, yep, but definitely, because I've never used one for a 13-mile race. Not for that, And now I was like, okay, so Utah's a little different. And I did the first year of Mammoth Trail Fest, which was cool because I had a 24 hour. I was going to do a Spartan race. They used to do a 24 hour looped race, which was much harder than Tough Mudder because, big sandbags, Hercules hoist where you got to pull up the sandbag. And it was supposed to be at Lake Tahoe, which I loved. It was beautiful. And it got canceled last minute due to the smoke. So we went to Mammoth Trail Fest and, they got, we slept at 8,000 feet. It was pretty high and, got up to 11 during the race. And I tried to race Friday at the 25K. It took me 2 miles to realize this was just going to be a fun weekend, that these people are on a different level. Then I fun ran the 50K. And then I fun, well, I mean, I raced them, but I didn't race them to what I could race them on this side of the country. It was more like a 80% effort instead of 100. And then did the hill climb on Sunday. So that was the Mammoth Triple. Well, that was pretty cool. I ain't been back since, but that was all West Coast experience until this prior weekend.
Yeah. So when did you guys get to Ouray?
We flew in, I believe. Let's see, the race started Friday. I had all day Thursday to get ready. About Wednesday at noon, I would say somewhere
Okay.
around there.
Okay. So do you think the altitude had something to do with the crash or what?
Honestly, I don't. I never felt like I even went fast enough to feel the altitude effect of,
Okay.
because like when I went out at that 25K in Mammoth, I felt it instantly. I could tell, like, I don't go off a heart rate trainer or nothing like that, but I mean I do know my zones enough because I run enough miles, and look
Right.
at it. I go off a feel basically, but I never felt like that. Like the first 2 miles in Mammoth, dude, I thought I was gonna have a heart attack. I literally sat down 2 miles into a 15-mile race. I was like, this ain't gonna cut it. I was like, I can't be doing that speed. I never
Yeah.
felt like that at Mammoth, but I do know when I go up that high, I just don't sleep as well.
Okay.
And we flew into Montrose.
Breaking up a little.
So it was a little bit of driving here and there, sightseeing, not doing any crazy hikes before the race or nothing. And I swear I slept like 10 hours a night for those 2 nights leading into the race. But by the time I started Friday, I was like super excited to race. But on the other hand, in my mind, I already knew I was tired. Like my body felt run down after just being up there for 2 days.
Right.
That's something I would definitely do different next year. Like I will not fly in 2 days early because people say fly in a week early and acclimate.
Yeah. So you think you got to get out there like maybe 10 days early or what?
So my theory is you're not truly acclimated for months and months, right? When you go
Right.
from 800 feet, I think I live about 800 feet. When you're talking about 8,000 feet, you're not going to be acclimated and feel normal for months on end. Your body will adjust, but it's going to adjust and feel crappy in the process.
Yep.
So next year, I'm actually going out later. Like if that race starts at 8 o'clock Friday morning, I will be out there Thursday afternoon. And
There you
because
go. Okay.
then I have less time to get tired and less time to feel the effects. I think that'll play a better hand for me. Maybe treat it like a business trip. Get out there, finish the race, then have vacation.
There you go. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no kidding. It's worth a shot. So this year, is your next race Rimmed River then?
Currently, yes. I was gonna run the Spartan Trifecta World Championships
Okay.
in September, and it was supposed to be 3 days each distance, cumulative times. First time it's in the United States instead of having it in Greece. And I think I'm just kind of out of Spartan right now. There's no new competition, no new obstacles. It's kind of I'm not getting the fulfillment I do when I go run 50 miles. So I was like, well, if I
Okay.
ain't having fun with it, don't force myself to do it.
Yeah.
But I am heavily looking at Grindstone. Even
Oh,
though
okay.
everything I'm reading says they keep running out of water and it's overpriced and the buckle sucks, which I don't care about the buckle. I just want to go
Right.
play in the mountains, which
Yep.
at the end of the day, I carry my own damn water anyway. So,
Yep. Yep.
I
Well,
may end
and
up
you've got
jumping
one of the
into that.
best crew chiefs in the world, man.
Right?
Your wife is on top of stuff, man. I just got to
Dude,
tell you.
she is on it. Yeah, she is definitely on it for sure. Like it is. I tell her all the time, you don't know how much I appreciate it. Yeah, she's been with me day one when it came to the ultras. She loves it too. I mean, she's amazed by it. She likes running,
Yeah.
she'll run some half marathons and that's about her distance. She's ran an
Yep.
ultra Spartan race back in the day when it was like 26 miles instead of the full 50K. And she was like, you're out of your mind. I don't know why people do that. So she's
Yep.
like, I'm good. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have that same feeling.
All right, so Rimmed River this year, what are you shooting for?
I would like to be conservative and say sub 20 since that's what I've tried two different times.
Okay.
But seeing that Forgotten Florida was 1911, I don't want to get cocky and say that 1859 is possible. But Rim to River is a very, is even though it has, I think, 11,000, 12,000 feet, maybe even 10,000. I'm honestly not sure. But it is a fast course still,
Right.
because the climbs are not really what I consider, like what I'm sure not what you consider climbs either.
Yep.
They're not 500 foot mile climbs. So really, if you can grind at 4% for a couple miles at a time, then you can run, really you can run up at it most of this
Yeah.
race. So I do think if I pace myself properly, I may be able to squeeze in at 1859. I would love it because I don't want to have to wait all the way until Forgotten Florida to try to go under 19. I would like to just be like, you know what? I've seen this time. I can do it there. I can do it here. That's my theory. I'm not sure if that's going to work out, but that's my theory.
Good, go for it.
And I think it's just going to take the right amount of patience on that front half to not blow up. And then really, and my pacer is the girl who blew my doors off at that other
Oh,
100
cool.
miler. She is
Cool.
a freak of nature. She got second at Grindstone last year, qualified for UTMB, and she's currently just smashing 100 mile weeks like there's no tomorrow. And I'm like,
That's crazy.
on top of
Wow.
working out. And I'm like, I don't know where you get the time for this, you know, but even though I have the time, I won't lie, I do not have the dedication for that. I'm currently
Right.
working on it. It's just life gets in the way. I have an 8-year-old. We do other stuff. We ride four wheelers. We build stuff in the yard. It's just
Yeah.
stuff like that.
So what's your like your bucket list race? If somebody paid your entry fee into it, what would be your top race that you would want to get into?
Oh, that is a hard one. It used to be Badwater 135
Okay.
because it is the exact opposite of what I like to do, which for
Yeah.
some reason it speaks to me of like I'm a mountain runner. I consider myself a mountain runner. I train in the mountains, you know, small mountains, but I train in the mountains. So, but I do enjoy the heat. I'm a fan of the heat. I'll go run 100 degrees. It doesn't really make a difference to me, you know,
Okay.
like 80 is 100. So that would be a cool race. And then I really started thinking about it. I was like, man, by the time you're in, and I hate to say it, but by the time you're in for the entry fee, honestly, I've never thought about it being self-supported, but you can't have aid stations as 120 degrees.
Right.
So you're in for a lot of money on a self-supported effort that you're going to get a buckle that you can really go do any time of the year. I understand it's not the same, but
Right.
they have loosened up the qualifications. So I was like, I do like that part. I was like, that made me kind of be like, I'm qualified right now, actually.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I don't know. Honestly, I don't really have any care for Western States. If I got in it, I'd go run it, but it's
Right.
not. I think there's better races that are easier to get into. You know, it would be cool. I'd like to get in. And then if I do get in, I will definitely make my way over there. Same with Leadville. Now, Leadville does look pretty, though. Leadville, I would pick Leadville over Western States. I don't know if many people feel that way, but me personally, I'd rather go run in those Colorado mountains.
So,
Right. I call
yeah.
it, well, somebody was like, California single track is your East Coast road run. And I was like, oh, I was like,
Yeah.
okay. Because when I went out to Mammoth, like people was talking about a technical section and they kept bringing this technical section up. And, you know, these are people who are, I guess, local to that area or, you know,
Right.
whomever. And I don't think there was many people from the East Coast. And we got to the technical section and it was like 500 rocks in like 100 yards. And that's what they was talking about. And I was like, oh. And then they was like, well, what'd you think we meant? I was like, well, I'm used to Appalachian Trail. And they was like, oh, no. They was like, no. I was like, well, I was expecting some crazy freaking, you know, some massive climb with rocks and roots. And they was like, oh, no, we don't have a lot of that here. I was like, oh, okay. Well, never mind then. That was not exactly what I was expecting. So it was kind of cool, but.
Yeah, my first time running the Appalachian Trail after we moved to Virginia in 2020. Yeah, I went up and I was like, yeah, I've run in Wyoming, I've run in Colorado, and so I was picturing like this wide trail because I mean a kajillion people hike it every year, right? So I was picturing like
Right.
this wide trail and just sort of like smooth, buttery trail and everything. And I got up after the first time running it, and I was like, oh gosh, this is not what I was expecting. I mean,
It's like a
rocks like you
tunnel of
wouldn't
green for
believe, and
miles on end. You get
the
no overlooks.
exactly. It's I remember the first time I ran up in Grayson Highlands, and everybody's like, we got to do Mount Rogers. It's the highest peak in Virginia. I was like, okay. So, I run up Mount Rogers, and I'm up at the top, and I'm like, well, am I at the top? Because there's so much green that you can't look around and
Yeah, oh
everything.
yeah.
Another couple come up and they're like, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for the summit. They're like, you're at the summit. I was like, oh,
But
well,
yeah,
that was kind of a
you're right.
letdown. So it's like,
Definitely
wow, I
not
didn't
like the
even know
summits
it was
out
there.
west.
Yeah, you'd
That's funny.
summit out west and you know you're at the top. So,
Oh, 100%. You see in every direction for as long as you need to see, you know.
exactly. Well, Brian, let's draw this to an end. The thing I like to ask people as we close out is the name of the podcast, obviously, is Living an Ultra Life. And I have to say that you've got a tremendous attitude and a lot of grit. And like I said, I think the sky's the limit for you. But when you hear living an ultra life, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
Oh, let's see. Living an ultra life. Just go have fun.
Yeah.
Like, don't take it too seriously. At the end of the day, we're all just doing this as a hobby,
Yep.
which is crazy because it feels like a huge part of my life, but it is, it's just a hobby. It's fun. It's meant to be fun. Like, even with my recent DNF, it was a fun 27 miles. It was a fun mini vacation. It gives
Yep.
me another excuse to go back and have more fun.
Awesome. Proud of you, man. Really, really
I
looking
appreciate
forward
it,
to see
man.
what's in the future for you.
Oh, and the answer was Spartathlon. That was my answer for the race.
Okay. Oh,
I
the
think
one
that's
in
a.
Greece, right?
I can't remember
Yeah.
where it really came across my radar, but I had no idea that the qualification, it was like sub 21-hour 100-miler, and I was like, boom, done.
Oh,
So,
you're done. There you go.
yeah, so I am stuck in between Ouray next year or Spartathlon. Maybe both if
Okay.
I can make them happen. So,
That'd be awesome.
I just like the idea of like it's not a 200. It's not a
Yep.
100, but it's also a really cool individual event, And I heard
Yeah.
just hearing how the racers are received over there, they act like it's the coolest thing in the world that you come over there just for that race. I was like, that'd be
Yep.
a neat experience, So that's the race I'd probably run if I had any of my
Awesome.
choices.
There you go. Cool. Well, Brian, thank you so much. I'm gonna let you get back on the road and really appreciate you joining me.
Oh yeah, man, I appreciate it. I was excited when you messaged me. I told my wife, I was like, I don't know if he knows, but I could talk about running all day long.
It's
It's
awesome.
fun.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.